Jim Bradford introduced Jerry Spain one time. He said, one of the greatest missionary speakers I know. So we're blessed tonight. Jerry, you've got a lot to live up to, boy.
You don't want to believe everything that you hear, for sure. But it's a delight to be with you tonight. Don Tucker emailed me on Monday and asked me if I would substitute for him tonight. And my immediate thought was, if I'm struggling with jet lag, you know, it's about 4 o'clock in the morning in Ethiopia right now, and we just came over. Spud and Julie and I had the privilege of being in Kenya and in Ethiopia teaching. We taught for a couple weeks, and what a marvelous experience. John, as you were testifying tonight, I couldn't help but reflect on the privilege of seeing what God is doing in our generation. In Ethiopia, it wouldn't be an exaggeration if I told you that God has sent one of the greatest Pentecostal revivals that hasn't been told. I mean, they haven't written the history of it yet. I was talking not too long ago with a man, and I don't think he would care if I mentioned the title. He was a Mennonite missionary. And he said, and I quote, he said, you know, our Mennonite church in Ethiopia is about 100% Pentecostal, he said. he said they all speak in other tongues and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit and believe God for miracles. A year ago, we were there for a 11th Hour Institute. That's where we go and share about missions. I teach with Denny Miller and a team, Dr. Lazarus Chiquetta and many Africans. We partner in teaching the African church about fulfilling the Great Commission. And I heard your phrase, John, tonight. I heard you say that you are more encouraged about the Assemblies of God than you ever have been. I would say this, from my perspective, I think that we are on the threshold of the closure of the Great Commission. Why? Because God has promised in the last day He would pour out of His Holy Spirit. And we're seeing it happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's just praise the Lord for a few moments. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, that we live in such an hour as this. We just thank you, Master, that we live in such an hour, that we live in the generation that you have foretold and that you have prophesied about, Lord. And we're grateful. We're deeply grateful. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, how grateful we are, Lord. How thankful we are that we can individually and collectively experience the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to receive from you tonight again. Would you pour out of your blessing and would you pour out of your presence? We desperately need your power. We desperately need the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the body of believers, and so we trust you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. We praise you, Jesus. Yes. I would be remiss tonight if I didn't express appreciation to those of you who have prayed for my wife and for me. Some of you know that we both have had probably broken ribs. My wife has had x-rays, and she had, the doctor said, 5 broken ribs. I ask her, how many do the ladies have on one side anyway? I've heard that they're missing one somewhere. But she looked it up and said there were only 9 on one side, and she had 5 of them broken. And it was just before Christmas when she went out to the freezer to get the 19-pound turkey out of the freezer. And Obi, you're right, we may as well laugh about things, but I had told her that I would do it, but she, you know, she's petite and decided that she would capable of doing it, and so she pulled that 19-pound turkey out of the freezer, turned around and tripped over the steps and fell into the pickup truck, and that turkey got the best of her. Somebody said, well, put that turkey on the barbecue. Get rid of that turkey in some way. And so she suffered. She has suffered a great deal. This is her first Wednesday night to be in a service. In fact, at times she has hardly been able to breathe. They found that in her lungs, that had filled a great deal of her lungs had filled up. So thank you for praying. And then the day after we arrived in Ethiopia, I did what I do by habit. I got up early in the morning to go out and jog, and it was still dark. I thought I knew the housing area very well. We've stayed there. I'm an adjunct faculty member at the school, and I got out there and I looked and I said, boy, it's dark out here, but I think I know everything around this trail. And so I started running and tripped over a speed bump. And when I tripped over that speed bump, I went down. I know a little bit about trying to break a fall. And when I went down, somehow I jammed my ribs. And immediate thought was, I started laughing a little bit, even though it hurt. I said, you know, my wife is going to say, you just wanted to sympathize with me, didn't you? And some of our friends in East Africa get the L's and R's mixed up in their language, and I thought to myself, you know, these are some of those bloken libs. And thank you for praying for me, because I really believe the Lord touches. Spud and Julie and I were spending all day teaching, long days. We would go into the school at 7 o'clock in the morning and still be there sometime and towards the evening, and I was teaching about 4 hours, and with bruised or broken or fractured ribs, whatever, that's not fun. But thank God for your prayers, and we're grateful that we live in a day when the Lord does answer prayer. I'm going to do something tonight that I haven't done in a long time. Jane emailed me this morning. We have this modern means of email, and asked if I had a title of my message, and I did. I said, I even have the outline. So I sent it to her. And as John was talking, I sensed in my heart that I didn't have the right message. And in fact, when I saw the theme tonight, there was something that in my spirit that just said, you know, I'm not sure that I have the right message. And so I said, I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I don't want to come to just to share an outline. I don't want to come to just fill in a few moments. We have about a half hour of a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and I want to talk to you a little bit about something the Lord has talked to me about, and that is the mighty river of God, the powerful legacy that we have as believers is that God wants to allow His Spirit to flow through us, a mighty river. And I want to read the first 12 verses of Ezekiel's prophecy and the vision that he had of the river from the temple. Ezekiel 47, we'll read beginning with the first verse. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced the east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple. From the south side of the temple, south of the altar. I pause for a moment because I've underlined in my Bible. There's an important truth right there. The water comes from the altar. Verse 2. He then brought me out through the north gate. He led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits, and he led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000, and he led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, Son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, the water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Araba where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from the En-Gedi to En-Eglim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. The leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. The fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. And Father, we just ask that you'll take these few scriptures and the few thoughts that we would reflect upon and make it a blessing to us, I pray, as well as a challenge. Lord, I pray that you'll give us eyes to see where we are and that in your divine economy. Lord, where you in your plan and in your Holy Spirit-oriented strategy would have us live at this moment, and the means by which we can employ the power of God upon our souls and in our lives, and how we can trust you, Lord, for the signs and miracles and the confirmation of your word, and how we can believe that you alone are the answer to every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth. And so, Lord, we would pray that even before we leave this sanctuary, that we shall have had a fresh outpouring of God's presence in our lives. We would ask all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I have in my Bible an outline that I have written down in the margin. I'll share it with you because this is what the Lord has talked to me about. I'm grateful that we can take a pen sometimes as the Lord leads us in Bible study. And I can remember, Dr. Harris, hearing W.I. Evans in 19, if I can remember it correctly, I think it was in about 1954, he was the camp speaker at our Nebraska camp. And he preached a message on "This River Must Flow." Now, I don't remember all of that message, and I'm not going to pass that one on to you tonight, except to say that it was a powerful word from God. And I had a copy of that message for a long time. I've had it in my office. I gave it away to somebody, and don't know who it was, but that's okay. At least it's probably doing a good work with somebody else. But this is what I do remember, and that is that the Pentecostal message is that God wants his powerful river to flow. He doesn't want it to become stagnant. He wants it to be alive. Now, there are three things that I share with you from the margin of my Bible tonight, and I feel led of the Lord to leave it with you. One, I want you to see the source of the river. The source of the river. And I paused for a moment in my Bible reading to give you that indication. It says that the water was coming from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar, in the presence of God. God alone is the source of this mighty river. And God has intended that it would flow. And from the day of Pentecost, when God poured out, we use these phrases, poured out of his spirit, he wanted the river to flow. Now, I'm not going to give you a lengthy lesson of church history tonight, even though I love to study it. But I can tell you this much. There have been times when man has built a barrier, can refer to as a dam, but God has wanted his presence and his power to blow up those man-made barriers so that his river can flow freely. Now, it doesn't flow at random. It always flows through a channel and through, by God's direction, a specific target and a specific purpose. And God is a God of plans. God is a God that has everyone on the face of this earth in mind. We've just recently passed the 7 billion mark, and I can tell you that it includes people in Springfield, Missouri, central Springfield, as well as it includes people in Tokyo and in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Why? Because God is the creator of every man, woman, and child, and he is no respecter of person. That is the basic foundation of the scripture. God has created every one of them with his love. Hallelujah. But I also know that it's God alone that can make sure that this scripture and this understanding of his revelation, and that this river would flow to those hungry hearts. Sometimes they're not even aware of their spiritual need. But God, and in all of his love, and Jesus in his splendor and beauty, wants that revelation to come to their lives so that they can know redemption in all of its fullness. God is the source of this river. And when we talk about a Pentecostal outpouring, we should be talking about God and how much we need Him and the manifestation of His presence. And when I hear about things like this, it just quickened my heart to hear that at headquarters, people are seeking God. And I say, why shouldn't we at the Central Assembly believe, oh God, would you do it again? Would you do it again? Would you come by your presence? Because God alone is the source. Not in anything that we can do, and I don't need to go down the long list. It's not by our promotion. It's not by our plan or strategy, even though we can be systematic and in all of our plans. But then we should submit them to the Lord and say, Lord, let this river of God eclipse everything else so that we can see that beyond us and beyond my power and your power or the power of the church, we can say, Lord, let it be. I was talking about some of these things in a classroom in Ethiopia a few days ago, and it happened to be on Friday. And before I knew it, some of the students were beginning to pray. And so I said, let's just turn this into a prayer meeting. And I had about 50 young men and women who were candidates for the ministry who were saying, God, we need your presence and power. And I couldn't understand everything that was going on because they were praying in Amharic or praying in other tongues, but I knew it was God. I could sense the presence of the Lord, and so I joined with them. Why? Because God is the author of every language and tongue. And whatever language we pray in, whether it's one we understand or whether it's one of the Spirit, we can say, oh God, we just want everything that you have in store for us. And that's the second point. I want you to notice again, many of you have studied this time and again, but notice the size of this river. What a river. Ezekiel saw it, first of all, just ankle deep and knee deep and waist deep, and then he saw something that he couldn't even cross. He saw it deep enough to swim in. I call that immersion. If it's a big enough river that you can swim in it, that's enough to baptize somebody, isn't it? And so it's immersion. And that's what happens in the Pentecostal experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that is to say, Lord, I just release. I release every member of my body. And I want what you have for me. And God begins to give us a heavenly language. We begin to speak in a language that comes from the Spirit. And God says, you can have all of this that you want. You can have it daily. You can have it in a momentary experience. You can have it up to date. You can have a revival. You can have an experience in your soul that is up to date this very moment. Why? Because the river is big. The river and God is the source. And you can have it over your head where we don't even fully understand. You know, when I look at places around the world, I say, you know, we couldn't have planned that. Spud, you don't mind if I steal a little of your thunder. He might be able to give a report one day, but Spud and his wife, Joyce, before she went to heaven, started a church, an International Christian Center in Nairobi, Kenya, and we were a part of that. Joy was one of the charter members, just a handful of people that met in the Intercontinental Hotel in Nairobi, Kenya. Well, let's fast forward, because that was, what year, Spud? About 84. That was in 1984, and I don't have time to tell you all the details except to say we turned to each other about 3 weeks ago when Spud was preaching there now, and that church runs several thousands, in the thousands now. And Spud had to preach three times on Sunday. And then they just asked this humble preacher here if I would be a preacher in one of the satellite churches. And there were only 800 people there. That's all. Only 800 people in the satellite church. And Spud got to preach to thousands. And I wasn't even jealous. Why? Because we were saying to each other, could have we even imagined? We couldn't have even imagined, Obie. When God lays it upon your heart to do what He calls us to do, we sometimes can't even begin to imagine. We only know this, that if we will allow God to do it, it can be done for His honor and for His glory. Hallelujah. If you don't mind, let's give the Lord a clap offering tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Oh, praise God. And you see what's happened in Springfield, Missouri, or at Central Assembly, or what's happened somewhere else in the world is what God has planned. And I must hurry because I want to have some time for prayer tonight. I just feel that we should stand and seek God and trust the Lord to give us a new Pentecost or a fresh refilling, whatever it is the Lord has in mind, or if people... I'm going to share one more point, and he can stand. I'm going to share one more point. You can stand up if you want, or you can be seated. It's okay. That's all right. But I'm going to share with you that this river right here, is not only coming from God, and we can see how enormous it is, the size of it, but we can see that when the river comes from God, it brings great satisfaction and fruit. Look at the last part, this last paragraph. If I would entitle, I entitle the paragraph, the whole paragraph, the life, the satisfaction that comes from the river of God, that satisfaction. Swarms, it lives. The water flows, it says. The water there becomes fresh. It's not salty water. God says, put away. Now, I don't want that salty water. I don't want anything that's got a bad taste to it or bitter. I want something that's fresh. And where the river flows, everything will live. Notice, when the fishermen stand there and say, it's alive. This water brings life. And every mouth there can bear witness to the fact that God Himself in the source of the temple and the altar has brought satisfaction to the living soul. And all I can tell you tonight with a great deal of emotion personally is this. Even in a word of testimony. My mother in 1941 was living in a little house, just a simple little house, three doors from a Pentecostal church in Valentine, Nebraska. With a broken heart, a husband had walked out on her and left her with three children destitute. My dad had come on the scene and they had married a second time, and my brother and I were living in the home, and Mom was struggling again with a second marriage, and she heard the music. That's what attracted her. She heard music in that little church down on the corner. She thought she could walk in and be sort of anonymous, but there were only about 12 people there. She couldn't be. There were only a small group of people, but God was there. God was there. God transformed her life, and from that moment on, she found hope. And I stand here tonight just saying, oh God, how marvelous it is. How marvelous it is. And then as a child, I watched as the Holy Spirit began to move in that community. I would go with a pastor out with a pastor that we had out into the rural communities, and we would go to a schoolhouse. People would come in and they would pray for the sick and be healed. And I saw people baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember vividly seeing that revival and seeing the church go from about a dozen people to where they had well over 200 in a small community. And I saw God. And so I say to myself, I've witnessed it. I've witnessed it in my life. I've witnessed it here. I've witnessed it in East Africa. And I want nothing but what God has for the genuine and authentic. And so I would pray tonight that there would be life. That there would be life for people that live next door to you. That there would be life for people that live in Grant Beach and over on Commercial Street and in the midst of a darkened society and culture that we have that desperately needs God. That answer can be found in the source of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand tonight and ask God to send revival to Central Assembly. God, I pray, help us, Lord, not to accept second best. Do it, Lord, I pray again. Do it, Lord, in our lives, I pray, oh God. We just call out to you, Lord Jesus. Will you not revive your work in the midst of the years, I pray, oh God. Hallelujah.